Chapter 2, Galatians 2. Welcome to those of you that are tuned in via the internet. Sorry for the little distractions there, but it's just all family here. And I am glad that you're here with us. We've seen several people already signed on Facebook Live. And also on our website, we're glad to continue to have people sign on there. We've been really having a good number that have watched the messages over the last few weeks. And I shared with you last week, Brother Scott's not here today, but Scott McPherson, that's been attending here for several months now with Derek Abels and his family, or a Derek invited friend of Derek's, he was telling us he got saved during one of the messages he was listening to. Said he realized he'd never been saved and trusted the Lord. And what a blessing that is. That's really what it's all about. And we appreciate people tuning in. Here at Grace Bible Church, we do have people in the audience today. I'm saying this for those that are tuned in via the internet. For several weeks, it was just me and Billy. And we came here and did it. I noticed that most people that were broadcasting from home. But so that we could broadcast over our website, we came here to the church and broadcasted. We have usually 35 to 40 people tuned in on the internet on our website, and many of those are groups. And so we didn't want to stop that. And those people, many of those people don't have Facebook. They just have a link on their phone or on their computer. And so we came here and broadcasted, and it was just me and Billy. And as I said last week, Billy is about tired of me preaching just to him, and I'm glad to have people to preach to. Not as many as we had last week, but still a good number here. And I thank you for coming out. We are practicing social distancing. People sitting a little further apart than usual. Not a lot of handshaking and hugging going on. Mostly fist bumps, that kind of thing. Some people wearing their mask and others not. But we're trying to do the best we can in the circumstances, and we're going to continue to do that. Now, for those of you from Grace Bible Church that are not here but are listening over the internet, I would want you to know that the first Sunday in June, we will be resuming our 10 o'clock hour, our Sunday school hour. We always have donuts and coffee and a Bible study back there at 10. And then we'll meet out here at 11 like we usually do with our normal services. And hopefully going forward from the first Sunday in June until whenever, we'll be back to normal. So that Sunday also we will be honoring our graduates. And if you know of a graduate, part of your family or whatever, let me know, because as far as we can tell, we've got three that we're going to be recognizing. We always give out Bibles on that day, and we'll be doing that the first Sunday in June. All right, if you would turn me to Galatians chapter 2, and I want to talk to you about a particular statement that Paul makes here in Galatians 2. Now, of course, Galatians is a book of correction. It's a book where Paul spends a lot of time instructing people about grace, about falling from grace. He tells them to stand fast in the liberty. In chapter 2 of Galatians, Paul is given an account of a visit that he made to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, of course, being the center of Judaism. And Paul went up there more than once after he got saved. And this is an account of one of those visits. And we'll look back in Acts 15 because I believe that's when this occurs. But in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus," with me also. "And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." I would suppose that Paul did that privately, not to cause confusion or a disturbance. He says there in verse 3, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spout our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, they might bring us into bondage. But of these, who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter." And he says, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." Now, there's a couple of things I want us to notice here, but I want us to pay particular attention today and address a statement that Paul makes here, because some look at this and think that Paul is kind of have an attitude of arrogance. He says there in verse 6, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person." And that would have probably been the Pharisees there in Jerusalem. And he goes on to say, "For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." I've always found that an interesting statement. I was thinking about that the other day, and you know, sometimes when you watch movies or programs on TV, you watch something, and I just wonder if you've ever, like, watched a program maybe that lasted an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes, or 2 hours, and at the end, your thought was, "That's 2 hours I'll never get back." Because, in effect, it really added nothing to you. Now, there's some movies, you know, they're uplifting. Some are educational. Some are encouraging. But, you know, the problem about a movie that you've never seen before, you kind of get hooked. Mary and I will turn on a movie and we'll say, "Well, we'll watch 10 minutes of it." And we'll watch 10 minutes and I'll say, "What do you think?" She'll say, "Well, let's see what happens. We'll go a little further." But first thing you know, we sat there, we get done, and she looks over at me and she said, "Ooh, that was a waste of time." Well, I think about that when I think about what Paul was saying here in this conference he had with these men who no doubt were still keeping the law and did not acknowledge Paul's authority or his apostleship. We know that because they wanted to, no doubt, circumcise Titus, and Paul wouldn't allow it. And so he says, "Those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me." In other words, Paul did not respect their religious authority. And the reason for that is that Paul had a direct revelation from God. Now, I know as a boy, I was always taught that you shouldn't talk about other people's religion. Anybody ever hear that when you were little? You ought not to condemn somebody else's religion. You ought not to talk about other preachers, that kind of thing. Well, the Apostle Paul, he didn't respect people's persons, who they were positionally. And really, neither should we. You should not accept something because you hear it coming from me. You ought to accept it because it comes from the Word of God. But there are many people today who have put their preacher on a pedestal, and in their eyes, he can do no wrong, he can say no wrong, and they accept whatever is said, hook, line, and sinker. We were talking about the other night in a family discussion about another Netflix series about Waco and David Koresh, and the conversation turned to Jim Jones, and then this Jeffries that was out in Utah or whatever. And two or three of those, the thing they had in common were they were offsprings of the Mormon church. And someone spoke up and said, "Well, that makes perfect sense. The Mormons believe that the truth that they believe came from a man, a vision a revelation. What all these people have in common? They claim, like David Koresh, he claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to have revelation, and he used the Bible, and ended up in the death of all those people. The fact is, folks, is that we should never respect a person's religious authority or position, like people do the Pope or the priest, that kind of thing, but rather our respect should be for the Word of God and the truth of God's Word. Now, as Paul makes this statement here, it caused me to think about what was being preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what was going on there that moved forward into the book of Acts. Let's look back in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." Paul did not respect that teaching in the sense of the people he was preaching to. That's why he would not allow Titus to be saved. Now, he allowed Titus to be circumcised. He allowed Timothy to be circumcised back in Acts 16, but he says he did it because of the Jews that were in those quarters. Paul said clearly in 1 Corinthians 9 that to the Jew he became as a Jew. To those that were under the law as under the law, I became all things to all men, that I might win some. And so here we find out in verse 2 it says, "And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." Now, think about this. They're telling Paul, you need to go up to Jerusalem to get your answer. Paul, who had received by direct revelation the ministry of preaching the gospel of the grace of God, saved apart from the law, while deserving to die according to the law, having received the revelation of the grace of God, and they're telling Paul, you need to go up here to Jerusalem. Well, in order to win the Jew, Paul was willing to do that. And so it says in verse 3, "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." Then we know that they did not understand Paul's message, did they? I mean, Paul writes that whole book of Galatians talking about why you didn't have to be circumcised. And you have to understand that it says here, there was a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed. In other words, they believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but they were still practicing the law. Now, I want you to go back. Look in Matthew chapter 16. You see, there were many things that were believed or not believed that were revealed throughout the ministry of Christ. In other words, it's what we would call progressive revelation. For example, in Matthew, go back to Matthew 10 first. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew 10, it says, "And when he had called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Then in verses 2 and 3, and 4, we have the names of those disciples. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now that was the commission. Now I don't know how much time passed between Matthew 10 and Matthew 16. But I know that there would most definitely have been a period of time. And so when you get over to Matthew chapter 16, and by the way, as you go through these chapters, like chapter 11, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. So they were going through the cities. Chapter 12, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. I mean, each chapter has an account of them going and preaching this gospel that Jesus Christ had told them to preach. So there was a period of time that passed. Now, why am I making a point of that? Well, look in chapter 16, in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples, they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So we see a change here. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Then we know, folks, that the initial preaching of the gospel of the kingdom did not include the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, did it? They found that out later on. Now, that was information that was added to them. And they didn't like it. After all, they had forsaken all and followed it. Look over in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew 19:27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So they didn't know that they was going to die. Then they found out. And so now what they want to know is, what are we going to receive as a result of having followed you? And he said, when I sit in the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But did he reveal to them then when that was going to be? No. Look in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1. In verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He had died, he had been buried, he had been resurrected, He'd spent 40 days with them, and they're wanting to know, now, is this the time? And he said, no. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And then he gives them commission to start there in Jerusalem and in Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. But go back to John chapter 20. I want you to notice something else. In John chapter 20, verse 1, I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark in the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, which whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter went forth in that of other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre, and he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Now notice verse 9. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Isn't that amazing? Number one, when they began preaching, they didn't know he was going to die. Then he tells them he's going to die. Then he's put to death. And then when he's gone from the tomb, they think somebody stole him. Why? Because the Bible says, as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Well, what was Paul's gospel? Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Look over in Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24. Now, this may just seem like old information, but I'm going somewhere with this, so just hang on. We'll get there. Luke 24. Verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, beholding two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told them these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran in the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departing, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. So we see the limited knowledge that they had. But look over in verse 44. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. This is Christ. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Now go over to Acts chapter 2. The point I'm trying to get to, and it's taken me a while to get there, but there, the great debate when you start talking to people about dispensational truth, about rightly dividing the word of truth, the one thing that people will bristle at is that Peter and Paul did not preach the same message. Now we see going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it couldn't even be close to what Paul preached because most of their ministry, they didn't even know it. Up until their death, up until his death and resurrection, they still didn't know. They had not seen in the scriptures he was going to rise from the dead. And yet he did. And when he did, and he appeared to them, they did not say, well, praise God, now we have redemption through his blood. They did not say, praise God, now that this is all complete, the dispensation of the grace of God can come. They asked him one simple question, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons. In other words, what I'm getting to, Christ never changed what he told them to preach in Matthew 24, Matthew 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke 24. He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. And in Acts chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up there and he declares in verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. And he's preaching to Israel. And he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They're doing exactly what Christ told them to do. In Acts 3:19, Peter says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so that's what they're preaching all the way through. They get over to Acts chapter 10. And so God reveals to Peter that he doesn't have to wait to go to the Gentiles with this message that Christ is the Messiah. And he does that through a vision about Cornelius. And notice what he preached to him. In Acts 10:34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Paul said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Peter said, the word which God sent. Now notice, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Peter never preached to him anything about grace. Peter never preached to him anything about the dispensation of grace or salvation by grace. He's preaching to him as a Gentile that feared God and worked righteousness. Now back over in Acts 15. Acts 15. There were truths that were revealed throughout the ministry of the 12, but there were many truths that were never revealed to them that were revealed to the Apostle Paul. And that's why it is so confusing today to go back and try to preach that which Peter preached, Peter, James, John, the rest of the apostles preached, either in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or the early part of Acts, are in the epistles that they wrote, it is confusing to teach that as doctrine for today. Because it did not include what Paul preached, and that's why they could add nothing to him. But contrariwise, he says, on the contrary, what he had to offer and preach did add value to those that heard it. And so it does today. In Acts chapter 15, in verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together for consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. He's talking about Cornelius and his household and maybe some after that. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. In other words, they knew that they had been saved when they received the Holy Ghost, and what they do? They spake in tongues. Verse 8, And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. One of the most fascinating verses in the Bible to me. Here's a man who was told that he had the keys to the kingdom, and yet he's talking about a future salvation when they're going to be saved like the Gentiles are. It's what it says. If you don't believe it there, look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen, folks, words mean something. And the words in your Bible are pure. They're preserved. And if people will believe them, they will see the truth. How that Peter and James and John and the 12 preached a different message than Paul. They preached repent and be baptized. They preached a future salvation. If we had time, we'd go over there and read about it in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 says that there's a new covenant. You can read about it in Jeremiah 31. It was prophesied there. And that new covenant is made with the house of Israel. And in that new covenant, he said he will remember their sins no more. He said, in that it is new, the old is ready to vanish away. So when Hebrews 8 was written, you can rest assured that the old covenant, as far as Israel was concerned, was still in effect. That's why there were thousands of Jews which believed, and they were all zealous of the law. But notice what Peter said in 1 Peter. Now this is important, because this is after the book of Acts. And yet Peter writes in verse 13, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. When do they get the grace brought unto them? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. What did those two men say to the 12 standing there looking up into heaven? Why stand ye here gazing up? As he ascended into heaven, so shall he return in like manner. When Christ returns to this earth and establishes a new covenant with the nation Israel, for those that believed and were baptized for the remission of sins, at the second coming, they will then have their sins blotted out, wiped clean. God will be their God and they'll be His people. And Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Why? Because now Peter realizes. You see, folks, we look at all this looking back. And so it's hard for us to put ourselves in the position of these men that were living during this time. Well, we know that Peter was not expecting a long period of time. He asked the Lord, are you going to restore it right now? He says, no, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. People get all up in arms about how you can have two programs running parallel. And they say, well, whatever happened to Peter? I'll tell you what happened to him. He died. He died with the hope of the Lord returning and establishing that new covenant. And every member of that little flock did the same. They didn't merge into the body of Christ. They were in the little flock. They were part of Israel. They're part of that nation. And their sins are going to be blotted out at the second coming. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. It's no wonder Paul would say, they added nothing to me. They didn't know, folks. They didn't know that we have now received the atonement. They didn't know about Gentile salvation through the Apostle Paul, that we have redemption through his blood, that we've been accepted in the blood, that we're one new man in Christ. They didn't know all of that. Paul knew everything they knew, but they certainly didn't know everything he knew, because he had received it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. And it was not an egotistical thing. Paul said he was the least of all saints. But he had this ministry. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, the whole chapter is about the fact that there are those who are making a mockery of the fact that Christ had not yet returned. Look in verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What Peter's saying is, listen, don't be moved away from the hope that you have by those that would question whether the Lord's going to return. Now look down in verse 14. Peter says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, the things he's mentioned. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Anybody that says, I believe you ought to follow Peter, the last thing Peter said was you need to pay attention to Paul. Because it's only through the writings of Paul that there's an explanation of why the Lord has not returned. And it is the long-suffering of our Lord. And he said the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. By this time, Peter fully understood what Paul was talking about and encouraged those that was reading his letter to pay attention to what Paul had said. You see, Paul was given the information for you and I today, not for the nation Israel as a nation. Paul wrote about the mystery of Israel's blindness in Romans chapter 11. And in one day when Israel is no longer going to be blinded, and he said all Israel should be saved as it is written. Why do we make a big deal about following the Apostle Paul? Because he's our apostle. Why do we make a big deal? Because to Paul was committed the gospel of the grace of God. Why do we make a big deal about it? Because Paul preached the gospel that brings salvation today, that really nobody knew about until it's revealed to Paul. Because Peter was still preaching up until the salvation of Paul, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And all the way over in Acts 15, he's preaching, those that fear God and work righteousness are accepted with him. I'm sorry, Acts 10. Those that fear God and work righteousness are accepted by him. So the bottom line is, Paul had every right to make that statement that he made in Galatia, because he was up there meeting with the religious elite, but he was not going to be persuaded or changed. He said, the gospel which I preach, back in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, I certify you, brothers, the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, they added nothing to me, but look in Galatians 2:7, but contrawise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Most Bible versions will change that to make it appear as though they're the same gospel. It does not say the gospel to the circumcision and uncircumcision. It is the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. Peter preached one, Paul preached the other. Two gospels, two groups of people, two hopes. And the end of it all will be two different bodies. The body of Christ ruling and reigning in the heavens, Israel upon the earth. Now, you can't get saved today by believing the gospel of Acts 2:38 or Acts 3:19. The only gospel whereby you get saved today is the good news of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. How that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You don't need to add anything to that. You don't need to take anything away from it. Just believe it, receive the truth of that, and God will save you for Christ's sake. I thank you for being here today. I appreciate your attendance, and I hope to see you again next week. For those who have tuned in via the internet, we thank you. Hope it's been a blessing to you. I'd love to hear from you this week. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the truth of the gospel. We thank you for the clarity of it when we rightly divide the word of truth. And we pray that somebody today might hear that truth and be saved for Christ's sake. Amen.